Let's do the dang thing. We're back. It's a barn cast. The guys are back together. Memorial Day's over. Holidays are over. It's time to get back to work. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about baseball. I got a crazy take from the SEC tournament. I want to get your guys' reaction on it. You may agree. You may disagree. It'll be fun. We're going to talk about Auburn's NCAA tournament bid, maybe some recruiting. And obviously, we're going to get in the chat. So y'all log in. Get your questions in, get your comments in, and we'll have some fun. I want to start off with the SEC tournament. We haven't had a chance to all talk about it. I have a take that I want to get y'all's thoughts on and see what you think. I think in a loss, obviously Auburn lost in their third round. Was it the semifinals, I think?
Yes. Yep.
I think, though, the way that tournament played out could not have been better for Auburn's NCAA tournament life, tournament chances, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? Losing in the semifinals was the best thing I think that could have happened for Auburn's tournament bid, and this is why. Number one, you went in there and you had dominant pitching. You went up against some of the really good teams. You had dominant pitching, continuing to build that confidence. Dominant pitching, you hit 5 home runs in 3 games. That's really good to have the bats wake up a little bit. And then you had Bub Terrell get hot. I think that's very important for postseason. And then the last piece, you had sort of an unfortunate situation happen with the rain delay in the last game. And I think it may have pissed us off a little bit. We finish with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder, something left to prove. I don't know, man. I love the way that everything played out. I've never watched a tournament that Auburn could win and had like just wanted Auburn to be out of it and nobody get hurt, like more than anything. I think the way it played out, though, you won some games. You lost a close one with a weird situation. And you pitched great. You hit, for the most part, great. I think it was exactly what we needed.
Zach?
Yeah, I agree.
So in the moment, I can't – hindsight and being, you know, kind of looking back on it, I agree with you. But in the moment, I'm too competitive and I want it. Auburn has not fared well in SEC baseball tournaments. And this looked like the one that was going to be destiny on their side. I just wanted another shot at Georgia. I just did. I'm just being honest. I wanted to play Georgia in the championship game. But looking at it in retrospect, a couple things happened that may have benefited Auburn more. Number one, I think that they won enough games to go up a seed line. I know that SEC tournaments are not supposed to dictate seed line, but I am convinced Auburn went into that thing no higher than a 5, and they came out of it with a 4 because of the 2 wins they had.
Maybe so.
Number two, the way they did it, you're right. The bats came alive. You know, Hoover is known for the ball not flying out of there, although I saw Samford and Auburn play, and there were 5 home runs between them. It looks like it's a little bit different than it used to be. And then the third thing is it saves some pitching. I think that Auburn has pitching next week going into this tournament that they didn't have to go to, you know, another game and maybe throw 2 or 3 more arms. I just think an extra couple days rest for a couple of guys and not having to get into your bullpen on a Sunday is probably beneficial. So in hindsight, yes. But in the moment, I wanted to win.
Yeah. I mean, the pitching aspect of it, like, there's going to be dudes that go like 2 weeks without pitching. Some more just because, you know, we were down a game. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with you on the pitching aspect of it. I will say, Kyle, where I'll push back is like in the macro of this was the most gettable form of a championship that Butch Thompson could have reached out and grabbed since he's been here. And we all agree that this man deserves a championship. Yes, regional championships, super regional championships are great. The dogs are barking because they agree. They agree with me because they also, even the dogs know that Butch Thompson deserves a championship here at Auburn. And so, like, that's my only pushback to this. But everything you're saying is correct, you know, but I would push back and say, you know, there was a path to a championship there. And I do think that this program deserved that.
Just the, is it the SEC tournament, man? I don't know why. It just does not do anything for me, particularly for baseball. Like, I don't know.
Doesn't do anything for seeding either, apparently. Ask Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas was, you know, they didn't even make it, it as a – am I right? Like, it didn't even mess with them as like a where do they end up on the seed line?
They're not hosting, so they're probably a two seed somewhere. I haven't looked to see where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. So that they got all the way to the semis and didn't do anything for them. I get what you're saying. I just, for whatever reason, I have no desire to win the SEC championship, SEC tournament. Like, I'd love to win the SEC regular season, but like, if they wanted, I don't even know that it would like excite me that much. I don't know. That's that may be stupid.
I think it would have excited them. I mean, those guys clearly wanted
sure,
it.
Sure.
But I think you can have a set. Like, I think you can have a discussion about the SEC tournament and let it be separate from how it correlates to a run to Omaha. I think those could be separate conversations.
Yeah.
And everybody understand that. But if you do tie it, and your argument is it Auburn dropping that one probably puts them in a better spot. I'm not going to disagree with that. Look, Auburn has struggled in Hoover, and they've done pretty well in the postseason, especially over the last 5-6 years under Butch. So, yeah, clearly there's no correlation there. You're right.
Let's talk postseason. I think everybody's excited. You've got you're obviously hosting a regional, which we all knew that was going to happen, but you're the number 4 overall seed. You've added another, 2,000 seats to Plainsman Park, which is
incredible.
In preparation, which is going to be just unbelievably awesome.
It's going to be rowdy.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Darryl, we're talking now about Auburn being a number 4 seed and everything that goes along with that. Like, is that kind of where y'all expected Auburn to be? Better, worse? Like, talk to me about Auburn's overall seed.
Yeah, I thought Auburn was going to get a 6 seed. I thought they were locked into a 6 seed. A lot of the national, sites had them as a 6 seed. I felt like maybe after winning that second game, perhaps if the SEC tournament matters, and I'm still not convinced, just like in basketball, that it does affect seeding. But if it did, that win against, to get them into the semis against Texas A&M again, who's a good baseball team, may have got them up one, slotted them up one seed to the 5 seed. To get a 4 seed was incredible. And I think it was really a pleasant surprise, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and does it matter? Like, does the 4 seed overall matter? Is your life dramatically different than if it's a 6 seed? If you are that 6 seed, I don't know, but I do think once again, like, it's good for the program. Back to back years where you're a top 4 seed going into the postseason is incredible. And like, guys, look at the age of this roster. Like, this program's not going anywhere under Butch Thompson.
So young,
so young.
It's crazy.
I mean, assuming you keep, 70% of this roster, you're going to be in a really, really good spot with the sophomore class and these true freshmen, stepping up over time and over the course of the season. Like, you're looking at a spot where you're going to be probably in a good spot to be a national seed 3 seasons in a row. Like, this is fun. One thing that I want to advise Auburn fans on, we're in the middle of it. There's going to be a point 10 years from now where we look back and it's like, whether it results in a championship or not, or multiple trips to Omaha or not, we're in the middle of an incredibly competitive span for Auburn baseball.
Yes.
And I don't want us to do what we did with basketball. I think we're actually a little bit better at basketball with it, or what we did, during that, when we were super competitive in that Malzahn era. And like, we're so focused on what it's not that we're not focused on what it is.
Oh man, that's good.
I just want Auburn fans to enjoy it. You can want more. You can say that the bar is more. That's fine. but enjoy what's happening. I mean, the loud response that I heard after the fourth season, like, well, that's good. I hope we don't embarrass ourselves in supers. It's like, guys, like, it's hard to win a super regional. Yeah. And the fact that we're going to be in a situation where we have the chance to host a super regional 2 years in a row is an incredible feat. Yes, I hope we win it. Yes, I think we will win it if I had to guess. But just enjoy this run that we're in the middle of. Don't focus on what it could be or what it's not. Focus on what it actually is. And it's Auburn winning at a very high level.
If, you know, there's a theme, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's just amazing that Zach has said that, because there's a theme later on in the show that I want to address that's, you know, kind of got me a little bit pissed, to be honest with you, that has to do with that same concept that Zach's talking about. It's Auburn fans focusing on what's not rather than what is, and being our own worst critics. And it just needs to stop. And we'll address that when we get into the recruiting part.
For sure, for sure. So, I mean, just to echo what Zach's saying, I mean, you've hosted four regionals prior to Butch arriving, and will host four in the last 5 years. And I know at some point in time they changed the tournament format and, like, expanded or whatever. Regionals meant something different. But still, four times before Butch, and now you've had four in the last 5 years that you're hosting. It's just – it's crazy. And then as far as Auburn's draw, I mean, we may be skipping ahead a little bit here, but according to RPI, Auburn has the easiest regional. You got the best chance to advance as far as RPI goes. So,
and I don't know how, with playing the Milwaukee Brewers in that regional, that –
people are like, Milwaukee's got a Brewers college, have a losing record in the Horizon League. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
No, I'm a little I know a lot of people are kind of circling UCF. I'm not nervous, but the whole, like, NC State's coaches announces retirement and all that.
Yeah.
I would hate to make that a really good story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, golly, they're right. They could. You don't want to be part of that movie script, if it happens, for sure. But what's even funnier? Did y'all see where our baseball social media kind of leaked on accident who we would play across the bracket? Did y'all see that?
No.
Oh, you're talking about Ole Miss?
Well,
yeah,
they leaked, not Ole Miss, I mean, they leaked the Nebraska bracket. Like, they leaked on accident, I think, that Auburn was going to be playing the winner of that Nebraska bracket, which is fun, because if Nebraska is the one seed and you absolutely destroyed them 2 out of 3.
Isn't Ole Miss the 2 seed in that bracket?
I believe so.
Yeah, I just think they have.
Really, really tough.
Arizona State, the 3 seed there?
I think it may be
flipped. I mean, 2s and 3s don't really matter, but
I think Arizona State's that the 2 and Ole Miss might be the 3. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to play each other regardless. Like, it's just that is a brutal region.
Sorry. Wait a minute. Arizona State. They got
Nebraska, Arizona State, Ole Miss, and then some random team with a losing record.
I think Ole Miss is the 2 seed and Arizona State's the 3 seed. It doesn't matter. They're both – they're one of those teams is probably going to come out of that out of that regional.
I agree with you. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, though. Let's go ahead and go into it. Like, what let's talk. Let's get a little Dap Brent.
Yeah, what's got you ticked off?
What's in your crawl?
Well, so it's, you know, Zach and Brad touched on it. It was amazing. Simultaneously, Zach was doing a show on Village Vice with Brad Law, and he expressed something about the recruits and the recruits that Auburn gets. And while he was doing that, I simultaneously and separately was kind of looking at as well as Auburn's average star ranking in this class. And, you know, I'm getting tired of this narrative of 3-star you.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand hillbilly fan bases that are not Auburn doing it. Some of those, you know, some of those necks from those other schools doing it. I get that. Okay. But what really chaps me, really bothers me, is I consistently see in comments on shows, on social media, 3-star you, And it blows my mind that people that pull for a certain team almost cheer for their downfall or almost revel in the fact that, oh, they're not getting five stars or four stars. And what it reminds me of is sometimes people would rather be right.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Than celebrate the accomplishments of their team or their country. I'll even take it a little bit further. You know, it reminds me when we were in COVID, there seemed to be this narrative that there were people actually rooting for freaking COVID. Oh, yeah. So here's what I did. I did a little deep dive. Auburn has 9 recruits. 6 or 4-star or better. At 67%, I rounded up. 66.67, I rounded up. 67%. I'm not Galileo. I'm not a math major. I just did a quick little search. Asked Siri. I said, is 67% considered a majority? And it came back emphatically, yes. 67%. Yes, I did. I said, is 67% a majority? And it is.
I'm sorry, keep going.
So a majority, why would I say I did it if I didn't do it?
No, I pulled it back. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If that's the case, a majority of Auburn's recruiting class is 4-star or better. Where's this 3-star you narrative coming from? The people that are reveling in it, that are Auburn people, that's just such a loser mentality. I can't wrap my head around it. And honestly, it's just getting tiring and really, really boring with that crowd.
What's so fun, Dap, is there's a particular message board poster, and he's actually a neighbor of mine, and like he's kind of famous for doing this. Like, people will have a narrative, and it's just probably every fan base, but like if you have a narrative or you have a take, people can't come off of a take. Like, it's like I'm bought in now to a take, and I can't change. Like, I can't deviate from it. I can't say I was wrong. I can't change my mind. I have to now root for that take to materialize. And so today on one of the particular message boards, this my neighbor, his thing is he'll go back and find your bad take and he'll bump it up to the top. He'll bump it back up to the top of the message board. There's people saying Butch needs to be fired, you know, back early in the year. He's never won anything. Or you got to get rid of Gabe Gross, or this team sucks, or stuff like that. And it's like you don't give it any opportunity to play out. And so it's like, okay, we're going to throw this back up in your face now. And what's funny is a lot of them still won't go back and say I was wrong. It'll be like, let's just shift the goalposts, you know, just shift the argument so that I'm, well, he's never won a championship. Butch has never won a championship in anything. Okay, well, I mean, he's still one of the best Auburn baseball coaches of all time. And if
I think he's the best of all time.
Yeah, easily. And then if Bruce would have gotten to the Sweet 16, we would have been throwing a party. Well, that's what the Super Regionals are. It's a Sweet 16, guys, of a 64-team tournament. So
correct.
It's crazy to me how – and again, I think this is not probably –
the team that beat you within the national championship.
Well, say that one more time.
The team that beat you was unbeatable till the national championship.
Exactly.
There are a lot of people that are very nostalgic, and when they lock into a particular person that they align with, they have a real hard time. You know, I had somebody argue with me on the Barn message board that Sonny Smith was a better coach than Bruce Pearl. I just couldn't wrap. So the Hal Baird narrative, Zach, I get it. I do get, I mean, Hal Baird went to as many College World Series, I believe, as Butch has. And he's also, I think, won an SEC tournament. But he did it. It took a lot longer, right? I mean, he was there a lot longer, the longevity thing. So, you know, I tend to agree with you. I think Butch, in this shorter, you know, look at what Auburn baseball is. Look at the stands. Look at the fans. Look at the support. Look at how everything that he's done to promote that program, you have to count that as well.
Got a super chat from Jacob J. Indiana was mostly 3 stars. Let them talk.
There are also a lot of comparison, but that is factual.
Yeah, but Indiana doesn't play in the SEC, and that was a one-off. That's not going to happen consistently. If Indiana continually recruited 3 stars, Indiana would not go back to the college football playoff. It's sometime it catches up to you.
Here's another thing. I think one thing we forget about Indiana, or don't know, maybe people don't even know about Indiana. They spent a ton of money. They're huge, huge spenders in the portal. So don't think that they're just like, you know, they're money balling this thing and they're stretching a dollar as far as it goes. Like they're going out and they're spending a ton of money in the portal. So, and they'll probably recruit. They're still not recruiting great right now as far as compared to Auburn. Like Auburn's still ahead of them. Hell, Auburn's ahead of Alabama.
Do you know
in recruiting right now?
And you guys, nobody's ready for that conversation though.
Do you guys know the biggest benefactor of Indiana University? Don't you? That stroked the biggest checks.
No,
Mark Cuban.
Oh wow!
So although there is some controversy on whether or not, you know, he did what he needed to do, particularly who he said that he bought for, you know, he bought the quarterback. And that he's the reason why he came there. That's not necessarily true, but he did stroke some big checks. He's an Indiana University
graduate.
Yeah, he's an Indiana University graduate. You know, he's the biggest benefactor. He strokes a lot of checks for that school.
Brad Law says Butch equals Bruce. I mean, that's fair. That's the Brad Law, by the way.
That's Bradford.
Bradford Law, sorry. Yeah, I agree with him. I agree with him. I think that's a great comparison. And again, we don't know. I another thing I think Auburn fans, I love. What's that?
That right there is absolutely false.
I love Auburn fans. I am one, and Auburn fans listen to the show. But let's be honest, we watch every Auburn sport like we watch football, and so. I don't think that we have really fully appreciate and understand what it means to be a really good baseball program. Same thing with basketball. I think we got there. We've gotten really close to being there with basketball. Not quite there with baseball yet. And again, you don't have to look any further than just look at what Auburn's done in the past and look what Auburn's done since Butch has been here. It's incredible.
Well, and it's ironic because they don't really start to have that perspective until that particular program gets good. Then the expectations become a lot more. The bar gets raised, and when Tony Barbie was the coach, nobody watched Auburn basketball like Auburn football because nobody cared. Once Auburn fans get a little smell or sniff of success, then the whole bar gets raised and the way that they perceive that and the perception of that program changes. And I get that because you get emotionally invested at that point. But this baseball program has been very, very successful before. So had the basketball program. So it shouldn't have been anything that was a Johnny come lately scenario. And, you know, a lot of these fans have walked through this before. They've seen SEC tournament championships in basketball. They've seen Auburn get to they got to the Elite Eight in 1986, the first program, by the way, in the state of Alabama to get to the Elite Eight. So, you know, I mean, that was historic. And also the first to get to the Final Four. So the bar's been raised. The expectations are there. I get that. And that's how it should be. But you also need to celebrate wins and celebrate the good things that happen and understand. Look, do you remember the narrative, Zach, when we used to do those lives a lot of times after Auburn basketball and people were like, we need to get rid of Bruce. He's doing this, doing that. And I want to know where those people were during this last season and if they understood what Auburn had.
Yeah, I'm with you. You nailed all of that. Let's talk. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk recruiting. Let's do that for a little bit more in depth. Auburn's got a lot of big time visitors over the next several weeks. I want y'all to all tell me, you got 9 commitments. Let's say you end up at 15 or 16. Who's like the number? Who's like one of your top guys left on the board?
I'm just gonna go ahead and say it because it's the same thing as like with the light show. I want people to know what's going on. I have a ton of deer in my yard right now, and once they get up to the window, these dogs go nuts. But yeah,
let one in. Let's see one.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Who's the guy you want the most left on the board?
Go ahead, Carlos May. Yeah,
both of you, Carlos May guys.
I'm going to be honest. The reason I feel fine about recruiting is because I'm picturing Carlos May in the class.
Yeah.
If Carlos May's not in the class, it changes how I think about the whole thing.
I want the receiver from Nevada.
Yeah. You love that guy. So,
Damari.
You love him. I don't think he even has an official schedule.
Damani Warren.
I don't think that's happening.
There's one. Well, on 247, it said June 12th that he did have
does
one.
Does it?
Yeah, it did. It did. Now, did that change from a week What's and his a name? Half ago?
Damani Warren.
He did a week and a half ago. Now that could have changed, Zach, and that's why you're not seeing it, is because he could have canceled.
No, I want to see. I want to be correct.
Damani Warren sounds like a first round wide receiver.
6'4", 215. Yeah. Only played 6 games and had 600 yards.
I don't think he has an OV scheduled.
Okay, but he was here during Big Cat.
He did come for Big Cat.
Yeah.
I mean, Carlos May seems like the easy one. And I'm like you, Zach. I'm almost counting him as a commit.
Right.
He hasn't that's necessarily when you done away, it.
You feel pretty brutal about it. I mean, I'm sure NIL is involved in his recruitment based off of who all's recruiting him and how, like, the position he plays. I mean, he's incredible. He's so good. And he has so much leverage because he knows that too. Like, the staff knows that they have to have Carlos May in this class. So that one's, I'm not nervous about it. I don't think I've seen any reporting to be nervous about, but I will say this though. You know, I don't normally, I've said this to both of you guys on different shows. Like, I don't care what you say, leaving a recruiting visit, unless you say where Auburn is in your rankings. Auburn's at the top, Auburn's top 3. You know, Rance Brown a few weeks ago said it was down to Auburn and Kentucky. He's like, great, cool. Carlos May isn't like, he doesn't give you that. He doesn't say that. And I wish he did. I wish he did say that.
Well, I talked about this.
Is that him playing the game? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no. I said this earlier. Like, I think the way that we look at Carlos May is probably how a lot of other schools look at Carlos May, like he's going to be an Auburn guy. So when you do that, when there's that perception of you, you just nailed it, Zach. You don't have any leverage.
None.
You have none. So if you're trying to, and I don't fault him for this either, because this is the game now, and you have a very high value. You can have a very high value coming from high school into college. So, hey, I'm going to take some extra visits. I'm going to extend my commitment date out to August, you know, whatever it is, 2nd, 11th, whatever it is, the beginning part of August. It's
even a real date at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I have, you know, as much leverage as possible. And hopefully it's not being taken for granted, and I don't think this staff would ever do that, taken for granted that he's just going to be in the class and they are really doing everything they can to land them. But I'm like you, I'm counting him as a commit basically already. And that's what makes me feel so good about this class in the direction it's going as a whole.
The fact that Von Trell is over his recruitment makes me feel
better
about it too.
For sure.
I would, if Damari hasn't taken, or Damani hasn't taken an official visit, Nash Johnson is one I really want as well. Like, and I think he's because it's not only the position he plays, it's who he decommitted from. That to me matters. I know I'm petty.
I keep forgetting that he was committed to Bama.
Yep. So yeah, that's one that I like to see those type of things happen.
He's so athletic, man. He's so
yeah. So let's play this game. And, you know, Kyle and I do this on Tomorrow's Locked On, but you're at 8 commits. The number we keep hearing is 15. Carlos May is 9.
Nash Johnson, go ahead and put him on 10.
Yeah, Nash Johnson gets you to 10. Linebacker, Isaac McNeil.
Isaac McNeil, he commits on, or he announces on June the 2nd, which is.
If we get McNeil, do you get Culpepper too?
That's a great question.
Probably not. I think Auburn would take all of them. I don't know if Culpepper would be likely to come here. Christian Mays, the JUCO
defensive. Now you're at 11, right?
I've got 12. Carlos May, Nash.
The linebacker, whether it be Culpepper or. Yeah,
a linebacker. And then Christian Mays, the JUCO defensive tackle.
Probably.
So we're at 12.
Probably another wide receiver. That'd be 13. Marquise Evans, there's 14. That's the MJ Evans from Spain Park. Let's see who else.
The running back. There was a running back.
Man, I just can't see it staying there, right? There's one visiting this weekend. His last name's Miles.
Yeah.
The safety from Prattville. What's his name?
He had like a double. No. Oh, say, oh
he's got a double last name.
Aparicio.
Aparicio Bailey. Jaden Aparicio Bailey. That could be
apparently one. Kirby Smart loves him. Like just
that one would be a tough one. That would be a very, very tough one.
What about Tuiopo, the safety from Thompson?
You know, I mean, he's junior. Yeah, that's another one. That's another one. You don't have a safety in this class, so could that be one? That'd be 15 right there.
So, like, if that's your class, and some of those were variables, right? And then, like, I think there's speculation we'll get one more offensive lineman. So, like, that probably gets you there too. So, any form of those variables, and the thing we were least specific about was wide receiver. They're hosting a lot of after this weekend. Who's the guy coming this weekend? That's incredible. The Prattville guy.
Deshaun Hall.
He's incredible. I don't think we're going to get him, but goodness gracious, that's a class changer too. Holy cow. But they've got a lot of like smaller shifty slot guys coming in the coming week. So it's like, if you get one of those guys, do you feel good about those 15 or 16? And I think the answer to that is yes.
I do. Yeah, I do. I would that class right there.
I think of the ones we listed to finish off, I think only Nash Johnson, which I seriously doubt he ends up being a three-star. I think he's the only one that's a three-star of the ones we've listed to finish out the class. Am I right?
Right. And I mean, Zach made a great point on one of our shows that only probably gets you to 18th or 19th because it's only 15 or 16 guys.
On 247.
Yeah, but look at the offer lists of that class and look at the average star ranking of that class.
I bet
and
you I average would, star ranking, it would be close to top 10.
And on three will reward Auburn for that. Yeah, you know, I think the receiver is probably going to be if Auburn gets another receiver, there's a strong chance it's a three-star unless they swing for the fences. And then that extra lineman. I know you said that, Kyle, we talk about on the morning and the Locked On Auburn in the morning, but the kid from England, NFL you said he was a four-star. I didn't realize he was a four-star when we were talking about him.
Nico Campus?
Yeah. That'd be crazy.
He's a four-star everywhere on ESPN, Rivals, and 247.
I missed that. I thought he was a three-star kid. So, yeah, that'd be great if they landed him.
He's big, too. 6'7", 2'7". I wonder if the London campus – is a little bit more attractive/competitive than maybe the
New Zealand one.
I don't know enough about.
There's a chance, you know, Nakau Heppy was just not as seen as good of a prospect as others too.
I mean, he's literally never put on pads and played a football game.
Oh, that's right. He was like a rugby guy.
He had never played.
Where did he go? Did he go anywhere?
I don't know.
Nakau Heppy.
I love the Brown commitment, and we haven't had a chance to talk about that. I mean, that was a no-brainer. We knew that he was going to commit, but
Florida State.
That's a kid that I'm not concerned about what his star ranking is or whatever. I think he'll be somebody that in 2 years with development is going to be somebody that contributes. I really thought that was a great get for Auburn.
Those guys. You got to have, and I think those guys know that they're 2 years away. Right. Don't you think? Yeah. Like, I don't think those guys come in thinking, I got to play right now. Like, I'm in. I got one. I'll sit 1 year. I'm expecting to play right away. I just don't think those guys are that way.
Especially on the offensive line. You know, I think the offensive line situation, I mean, you just don't play as a freshman. You just don't.
Reverend Barn Booster says, Omaha, here we come. It's our year. Love you guys. Y'all are the best. No, you're the best.
You're the best. Thanks for keeping us employed, Barn Booster. No, I mean, it certainly does feel like this team has what it takes. And look, you know, my initial reaction to just to kind of go back to baseball, and we'll probably wrap up, but the when I saw our draw of Milwaukee and then UCF and NC State, my initial reaction was, oh, UCF and NC State, those are pretty good teams. But then it's like you look at it and they are good teams, but compared to what we've played the last 3 months, it's just another weekend for us. And I think this team being so battle tested, it's going to be helpful.
Instead of the mindset of, ooh, who do we have in our region that could be tough? It should be, for the love of God, they got to come to Auburn and play Auburn. Who cares who it is?
Yeah, they got to hit.
It's the name on a bracket. Let's go. That's the mindset that needs. You think Georgia's over there going, or, you know, some of these baseball factories or some of these teams that get in the college football play? I mean, you have to have that mindset that, no, they're the ones in trouble. They've got to come to Plainsman Park.
Yeah, they got to come to Plainsman Park for a regional. That place is a cemetery. Yeah,
they got to come hit against. You could there's debates on who you should roll out first. Like, who cares?
The rotations. I know we talked about the pitching team, but you can now get back to your normal rotation.
Yeah, there should be no rotation questions.
Yeah.
The only question I think that should come up is, if Auburn is up by a lot and Marciano is in the sixth, do you pull him? Do you stretch him a little bit longer than you normally would, or do you go to somebody else? To save, I'm exhausted, guys. I'm blanking. Local kid,
Jackson.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would
save Jackson Sanders for a potential game four.
I would pull him.
That I'd say yes, you do.
If you're beating somebody's eyes out, get him. Let him get to 5 or 6 to get the win, and get him the heck out of there.
Yep.
And you know why? I keep Cormier has shown to me now that he could be that long dude and give you 4 innings and close out the game, and you don't even have to go to your closer.
Yeah, period. I think he'll go. He'll stack behind Alvarez, would be my guess.
Yeah.
I love it. And then Hetzler's behind Petro. I mean, it's an incredible. I mean, they play 3 games in Hoover and they only use 6 pitchers. It's in with a rain delay. That's insane. It's ridiculous.
Darth Malgus wants a piece of cornbread because of Dap shirt.
We need to get that on your site there.
Yeah, Cornbread Gangster will be on aushirts.com before the end of the evening. So
where'd you get that hat, Kyle?
How about that hat right there? That's pretty sick. AUShirts.com right now.
That's available at AUShirts.com.
Don't be confused. There are hats on AUShirts.com. So
I recently got a shirt off of AUShirts.com. It's a hoodie. It's like a performance hoodie. We also have shirts with the same design on them. It just says, "Don't super care." I don't super care. Quoting.
People have asked for it. We'll get it out there. We'll get it out to Cornbread Gangster. Let's do it.
No doubt. We're going to get it up there. Guys, thank you all so much for joining. Hold on. Here we go. They're coming in. Cornbread Gangster AI video loading.
There's already one out there.
Save that. Save the Cornbread
Gangster. You remember Jay for the barn cast.
There is one out there with me sitting on a bunch of golden cornbread. After every time Auburn would beat somebody, AU Twitter would put, "You just got beat by the Cornbread Gangster." And it was...
That's incredible. Yep. We're definitely gonna be barn casting for the regional. So make sure you're tuned into that Friday at 12:00. We'll do it during the day. Doesn't matter.
Have they confirmed that time?
Yeah. It seemed like we requested it to be late and it was shot down. ESPN shot that down.
Thanks, ESPN.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but they did.
I hate it from a fan perspective. I love it from a strategy perspective.
Yeah,
especially because the weather could get a little touchy in the afternoon, thunderstorms and stuff I've seen. So you may get yours out of the way and have to sit and wait.
And it's supposed to be touch and go weather all week here. So yeah, who knows? We're good. Guys, y'all take care. We'll be back again very, very soon. We're out of here.